Hi, beautiful people. I'm Desiree K, and this is Jesus healing and everything in between. I am your host, Desiree K, as I just said that. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Wow, so much to talk about, so much that's happened, so much happening. So I have a little bit of a plan today, so I guess that's good news, right? The Lord has just been showing me a lot. I am learning so much, and I just cannot wait to share it with you guys. I cannot wait to share the wisdom the Lord has shown me. I always want to preface that... Is that the right wording? Oh, well. I want to make sure that it's clear. I'm not a pro. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a vessel of the Lord. Like, I trust that He'll speak through me. I welcome the Holy Spirit to speak through me. It's about Jesus, it's not about me. And I am absolutely wrong at times, surely, like anybody. I welcome correction. I'm learning just as much as you guys are. And I made that very clear at the very beginning of starting this whole podcast a year ago. We're on this journey together. So I'm just sharing with you what I feel the Lord's showing me and what I'm learning. So what I have learned about the topic of my life right now. So I'm going to have a hard time. I'm going to try to explain this without it being confusing. So the Bible tells us what God's will is. But then there's this idea that God's will for your life is a specific designated plan, but that's called God's will. So I don't know what we want to call that. Because like, I still believe it's a will in a sense for your life. But ultimately, God's will is already set before us, and He tells us what that is in His scriptures. So I'm going to refer to it as God's direction or plan, if you will, because I've learned something pretty crazy. So this is going to sound wild to anybody who doesn't understand, who's not involved right now in the story. I am the one that stands out. I'm the weirdo. I'm the one that has the weird relationship with the Lord. But I've accepted that. Like, it's not that He chose me and no one else. Like, we're all chosen, but we have a choice to accept that calling. So what's happened in my life is I've accepted the call, and now I'm learning that my entire life, I've been on the wrong path, basically. I was in Satan's will for my life, if you will. And so I don't know how deep you want to go here. I don't think the enemy is omniscient. He's not powerful, all-powerful, like God. But I think He knows things. He's been around for a long time, you know? And He was an angel, so He does have some powers to a certain extent, degree. So I believe that from the very beginning of my life, I think Satan knew something to a level about my life. Knew that I was something, knew that I was whatever. If anything, I could have just been, you know, he's just trying to keep me from God, period. I don't know. But ultimately, Satan had a plan for my life to keep me away from God. And what happened is I came to a place in my life where I surrendered everything to the Lord. And I was submitted solely to God's plan for my life. And when I did that, that's when all the things that were a part of Satan's plan for my life to keep me from God started disappearing. The more I walked in God's plan for my life and was submitted to Him, the more I started walking in God's plan for my life. And so where I'm at now, I don't even know. I'm in the middle of a pretty wild season, not gonna lie. I have no idea where I'm going. I've got some ideas, I've got some hopes, I've got some visions, but I don't know ultimately what that looks like. But to get back to what I was saying, as a young girl, I experienced a lot of abuse, a lot of attacks, a lot of things that could dim my spirit. And because of that, I actually did end up kind of living in a dark place. I was depressed. I had anxiety from literal hell. I was diagnosed with this thing called borderline personality disorder. It's very popular if you haven't heard about it. I had misdiagnoses, whatever, I never know how to say that, of bipolar, depression, eating disorders, panic disorders, I just have had it all, okay? Like, it's just been a lot. There was one point they were concerned, there was, like, some speculation that I was schizophrenic because of, the way that the enemy would use these signs that I would fall for. I think I've talked to you guys about that with the signs and coincidences podcast. That's what it's called. So overall, mental illness was a battle. And ultimately, as I got older, I lived under these umbrellas of this deception that I was doomed to live this way forever. I got to this point where I believed that I was destined for pain. I was destined for failure. I was destined for mental illness. And ultimately, the good old BPD lie, the curse from hell, is that it's a death sentence and that I was going to die because I was going to kill myself. So it was a very challenging time being a kid. And then at 18, I got married. That's when my diagnosis of BPD happened. And after that, for like 5 years of that marriage, or four or five, I don't know, I mix up the years, because we were together for a short time. So overall, the length of the marriage, I was convinced that this BPD was going to control my life. And I had this anxiety on top of it, and I was afraid of being alone, I was afraid of eating, like, I just was afraid of everything. It was really bad. Panic attacks, I couldn't drive, couldn't go anywhere, just, you name it, it was a struggle. And what happened is I was released of the marriage. And then after my marriage, I had feelings for a married guy because I was still stuck in this loop that I had to like a guy. I had to find someone to fulfill me and be my other half or whatever. And that led me into another path of sin. And I was surrounded by a bunch of people that were not believers, and I was condoning sins. We talked about this in my last podcast with my lukewarm topic. But ultimately, after, trigger warning, there was a sexual assault. It was the second one that I'd experienced. That is when I came to a breaking point and surrendered everything to the Lord. And after this surrender, God cleaned up all the negativity in my life, almost all of it, I should say. And I started living a whole new life outside of what I knew. And I still believed the lies. My biggest part of my surrender was giving my love life to the Lord and surrendering my fears of being alone and relationship things and all that stuff. And in doing that, that's where I found a lot of freedom. That was what was keeping me bound. But because I didn't worry about boys anymore, I was dealing with anxiety about the phobia I talked about in my other podcast, about the horror dating stories and anxiety and all that. And that phobia took over, and I was convinced still that I was destined to live in fear for the rest of my life. And so finally I got to a place, like a year ago, where I started walking and believing that I was free of all of this, that God did not call me to live this way. This was not his plan for me. His plan was not for me to live in fear, for me to be alone, for me to be destined for pain, all those things. Like, slowly, little by little, I started learning that more and more. I started experiencing actual freedom from anxiety and the control of it more than anything. And so here I am today, after, man, you guys know this move. I talked about the move. We moved in August last year. Well, yeah. And one thing after another went wrong, and it was taking me into the season that I didn't understand, still don't know what's happening. Like, I'm happy about it. I'm grateful I'm here, but I don't know how we got here. Basically, I thought when I moved that I was doing something too soon. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have moved. Maybe I jumped ahead of God or got something wrong. I don't know. I was not sure of what was happening, because the day we moved, all this stuff started going wrong in my life. And then at the end of the year, my life, like, flipped upside down, and it was quickly fixed, and then it flipped back upside down 3 months later. And so now I'm experiencing what was possibly going to happen in December, but it wasn't time yet. And so I say all of that to say, Satan had a plan for my life, and it was misery and destruction and keeping me away from God. But when I gave everything to the Lord, and I trusted him and surrendered everything to him, I started experiencing what he intended for me. And so I've been very intrigued by this whole idea of God's will, because I feel like I'm actually living God's will now for my life specifically. But when I started finding these verses about God's will, I'm learning, like, oh, there's like an actual designated list of what God's will is. And so today I want to cover that with you. I want to share this with you. And I hope that this helps you personally understand God's will for your life as a whole, so that you can submit to his plans for you. Because you have to be in God's will by this list to actually experience his plans for you. And so I want to start with Ephesians 5, 16 through 17. It says, make the most of every opportunity, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so that's what I plan on doing today. We're going to establish what the Lord's will is. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So we've got be thankful in all circumstances. That's the first thing. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. And I could say a lot on this one, which I actually plan on doing a whole episode on, so I'm going to skip that with the details, but I will just say that simply anything outside of God's order is sin. So, sex before marriage is sin. Sex with the same sex is a sin. Sex while you're married but with someone else is a sin. Sex with a child is sin. Sex with your family, incest, is sin. So, I don't care. Like, you can have your arguments, that's fine. I'm just telling you the truth for what it is. 1 Peter 2:15, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. This is very relevant to my life right now because I've had a lot of false accusations made against me due to the season I'm in. Because I basically have heard something from the Lord, I've obeyed it, and now everyone thinks I'm crazy and is accusing me of being in a cult and having religious psychosis because I'm, like, deeper with God now due to my obedience. So, it is his will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. We are to live honorable lives. And what does that look like? I feel like it's a little bit of everything. I mean, it's the fruits of the Spirit. It's the will of God that we're going to discuss now. It's forgiveness. It's being like Jesus. Ultimately, we just got to be like Jesus. Imitate Jesus with your life and you're living an honorable life. I think that's the simplest way to put it. Micah 6:8, this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, do the right thing, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We should be walking in humility as Christ followers. Hebrews 10:36, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Doing God's will is not the easiest thing. Sometimes it takes a lot out of you, and so patient endurance is absolutely required. And where do we get that from? We have to ask the Lord. We have to ask Jesus and specifically ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up every day and give us the patient endurance so that we can continue to do his will. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. At the end of the day, only Jesus can equip us to do his will. And we need to solely rely on him to do so. We cannot do it in our own strength. And I don't want anyone to be discouraged as I'm sharing all of this. You're not expected to do any of this on your own. That's why he requires submission to him. 1 Peter 3:7, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is the will of God, than to suffer for doing evil. Romans 12:1-2, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Again, that goes back to sexual morality and just how we treat our bodies in general, whether it be food or exercise or anything that involves the body. We are to honor the Lord with our bodies. Oh, the other half of that verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The only way to know God's will truly for us, of all these things I've shared, you have to let him renew your mind. And the way that your mind is renewed is through the word of God. If you're not in the word every single day, seeking the Lord, then you're in the world. And you're experiencing the world. And you're being fed with the world. And the world will not renew your mind. It will corrupt your mind and blind you, specifically from the truth of God's word. So it's really important to stay in the word of God, to seek him daily. And so John 9:31 says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Thankfully, if we have Christ and we are submitted to him and we are living in his will, then he hears our prayers. But to anyone out there who does not, it's very possible he does not hear your prayers because he cannot be around sin. He cannot be around unrepentance. And this goes back to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. This idea that God will reject certain people who think they know him in the end is one of the scariest things I think Christians deal with. Ultimately, if you are submitted to the Lord and you want to do his will and you are living in his will, the things that I've mentioned, then you very likely will be acknowledged by him. But it is those who think that they said a prayer when they were 6 or 7 and continue to live in sin, did not have a heart transformation, did not have a spirit transformation, do not have the Holy Spirit living in them. Those are the ones that will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. It's sobering to realize that there are going to be people that are not going to make it because they don't truly know the Lord. And he doesn't actually know them. I've learned something recently. And basically, the whole idea in that passage that says, depart from me, I never knew you. We need to understand the new is not just knowledge. It's an intimate know. It's like knowing your spouse. If we are the bride of Christ, then he should know us as his bride. There's an intimate level that is required to know someone in that way. And so you may think you have a relationship with the Lord because you've said a prayer or acknowledge him when things are tough. But it's a relationship that he seeks. At the end of the day, all of this, everything he's done is because he wants a relationship with us. Not religion, meaning the rules and the restrictions. Obey me, do what I say. It's about relationship. Even the rules that are given to us are because the only way for us to have relationship with him is to live right. And again, that comes down to how holy he is. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And when we live in sin, we are the ones that cause that separation ourselves. So ultimately, this is what God's will looks like. This is what we're called to live every single day of our lives while we're here on earth. Seeking God's will for your life specifically, the details, whether you're going to go to this college, whether you're going to marry this person, whether you're going to have this job, whatever it be, that's not the same thing as what God's will biblically is for us. Now, God's direction for your life is only found if you're in the will of God according to the scriptures. When I actually submitted myself to the Lord, that's when I started walking in his actual plans for my life. I started experiencing the healing that was intended for me. I started experiencing the freedom that was meant for me. And he started rewriting every part of my story that I knew as misery and defeat. And he's restoring everything. A lot of people get hung up on, well, I don't want to mess up. I want to be in God's will. I was one of those people. I still will admit I have my moments where I struggle. I don't want to be outside of God's will. But now that I've learned what it really means to be in God's will, there's been this weight lifted off of me because I don't have to be worried about being outside of God's will as long as I'm obeying what he says is his will. The specifics, the details, where I'm going to live, what I'm going to do, who I'm going to marry, all those things, those are already set. The story's already written. Psalms 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid before a single day had passed." Everything is already figured out. Like, your entire life story, he knows every decision you're going to make, everything that you're going to screw up on, everything that you're going to get right. It's already written. It's already done. Now you just got to live it. And every day, it should be our goal to seek him and to seek his direction for our lives. But ultimately, we do have free will. Like, he wants us to have choices. He wants us to have options. We could get into the topic of soulmates. I don't believe in soulmates. I believe that God gives us options. He gives us really good choices. But again, everyone's story is different. For some people, there may be a designated person. In the scriptures, we find that there were people that had to be put together specifically so that certain things would be fulfilled. Because it's in the Bible. Like, the Bible had to be written, right? So obviously not everybody's going to have the same stories as those people. But whether you go to this college or this college, God's not going to let you mess up if you're submitted to him. And that's what I've learned. If you're submitted to him, he's not going to misdirect you. He's not going to misguide you. It's when we decide to do it in our own power, in our own will, that's when we screw things up, if you will. But also, it's important to remember, there was a quote that I remember when I was in high school. I'm not going to quote it exactly, but something like, if you think you can mess up God's will for your life, my friend, you're not that powerful. That's probably not exactly it, but the general idea is that you're not powerful enough to screw up God's plan for your life. And at the end of the day, he knows if you're actually going to choose his plan for your life. Because he knows if you're going to choose him. He knows if you're going to be submitted to him. And so what I've learned in this big picture of life, don't get hung up on specifically God's plans for your life. Get hung up on God's will that we're called to live in the scriptures. And then God will play out his plans in your life. You got to do one to have the other. You can't choose this one and neglect the other. This has truly helped me so much. I just don't have to live in the chains of messing up my life because I'm not in God's will anymore. When I surrendered, I started experiencing things I didn't have before. Peace, comfort, healing, his presence, like tangible presence. And I've learned something beautiful about the Lord. He does reveal himself to us. This is where I've gotten accusations because they think I'm crazy. The Lord has revealed something to me. Many times. But this specific one is the most he's ever revealed. And he's consistently requiring my obedience in that. And when I obey him, he gives me more confirmation. And I don't expect the confirmation. That's just his goodness. But when you are in God's plan for your life, when you are walking in the direction that he has for you, it's like you'll get these little green lights, these little flashes or thumbs up from God saying, yeah, you've got it. You're on the right path. But he requires our obedience to have that. I'm in the middle of the wilderness right now. You know, like, I'm walking by the pillar of cloud and fire thing. Like, I'm not sure where we're going. I have ideas. I know it's a promised land, you know? That's ultimately what the circle of life is. The promised land, the wilderness, the whole thing, right? We just keep going through the same cycle over and over again. And so I'm in the wilderness again. And I'm getting to the promised land. We'll get there when we get there. But right now, he wants me to obey his voice. To listen for his directions. And to stay in his will. To do the will of his Father. I'm not special in the sense of I'm better than anybody else. I've just accepted the Lord's call in my life. So I look a little wackadoo. Not a lot of people want to submit to the Lord. That doesn't make me any more special because I am submitted to the Lord. I just want to be obedient. Like, I want what the Lord wants for me. When I started praying those prayers, align the desires of my heart with your will, Lord. That's when change started happening. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he will make straight your paths, or he will show you the plans, or whatever translation you want to use, right? Someone had argued with me, well, in this season, are you sure it's not your understanding you're leaning on? And I'm like, no, I'm positive. Like, God and I have the same understanding because I've submitted myself so much to him that I understand what his understanding is. You can never go too deep with Jesus, my friends. And it is a privilege, it is an honor that we get that opportunity here. It's like experiencing a little bit of heaven on earth. God really does delight in us. He really does want to be with us. He really does want to spend time with us. And he wants to bless us. But we are the ones that are disobedient. We are the ones that get in our own way and stop him from being able to bless us. At the end of the day, God's will is the only way. That's the only way to heaven, period. But God's plans for your life, you got to be in God's will to have his plans. But then God's plans for your life are so much better, so much greater than anything you could think for yourself. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about where I'm at right now. I am in a place in my life where I didn't think I'd ever be able to be. God has literally made the impossible possible in so many ways. And I don't know what to do with it. I'm just in shock every day that this is my life, that this is where I'm at. And I cannot wait to tell you guys the story. Over time, when it's allowed to be shared, I will tell you the story of what this season has been. But for now, I just want you to be encouraged. God can do the absolute impossible in your life. God can give you your greatest dreams. And your greatest dreams may not be exactly what his great dreams are, but his great dreams for you, when you come into alignment with them, you have no idea what it's gonna look like. Like, it's so much better. We are called to deny ourselves, to give up our desires, and to live for him. Now, anybody in the world who doesn't understand Jesus or what he's about would be like, well, that's selfish. Maybe I want to live my life. Honey, you living your life is destructive. You don't know what you're doing without God. We don't know what we're doing without God. That's what I've learned, is doing it without him is stupid. Why is anybody actually trying to do that, knowing that it's going to fail? When we do things without God, we fall on our face. And then he's got to pick us up and clean it up. And he lovingly does. But why do it the hard way? Why make it hard? When you could just submit to him and have everything he wants for you. If our generation, if the people who are listening to this, whoever you are, if you would just submit to the Lord, surrender your ways for his ways. Do you understand the impact you could have? Do you understand the purposes of your life that would be revealed? Do you understand the calling on your life? You know we're all called, right? We have an option to choose it. We have an option to accept it. And so I'm tired of this joke, this mockery that you think you're called, you think you're chosen. Every believer in Christ is. So if you're a believer, accept the call. You're wasting time. Do you see the world? Do you see what's going on out here? We need you now more than ever. We need you to rise up. We need you to step into your calling. There are so many things in this world that I'm exhausted of. It has nothing to offer. Yes, Jesus is my personality. Absolutely. Thank you. That is an honor. Anyone who said that, anyone who's thought that about me in a mocking way, I appreciate you for saying that. I want him to be the center of my life. I want him to be what people see when they look at my life. I don't want them to see me and see Desiree. I want them to see Jesus. Because at the end of the day, I'm not here because of me. I'm not where I'm at in my life because of me. I'm not talking on this podcast because of me. This podcast isn't mine. It's the Lord's. I'm just the vessel. I'm just the one that's going to share the truth and live for Jesus and actively reflect Jesus in my life. That is my prayer. That is my goal. Because he's the one that deserves the glory. I've talked about my acting on here before, and I've also mentioned in other videos on my socials. I love acting. I know I'm gifted. I know I have a talent. And it's not mine. I didn't do it myself. But right now, I don't have any use for it. It's not building the kingdom. There's no option, there's no opportunity for me to build the kingdom through it. And like I said, because I've submitted to the Lord, I'm not out here wham-wham boo-hooing because I can't act right now. When the time comes, if the time comes, then the time will come. But right now, my heart is for the kingdom. My heart is for building the kingdom. And that's why I've stepped more into the podcast. That's why I've been working on my socials and my content. Because we are in a day and an age where hundreds of people can see what you post. You don't have to go to a different country to be a missionary. Click the camera on your phone and you're good to go. If the gospel is important to you, if Jesus is important to you, then what are you doing with your life? Ask yourself, what really matters to you? It is the Lord's desire that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. Unfortunately, not everyone will. That's something I'm dealing with right now. But when I think I'm grieved about the world, when I think I'm sad that people are going to go to hell, I can't even imagine how God feels. I can't even fathom how grieved he is. Grieved isn't even the word for what he goes through every day. But even though there will be people who reject the Lord, that doesn't mean we should shut up. That doesn't mean we should back down. You don't know who's going to accept the Lord, so you got to keep going out there and spreading the good news. We are called to go out and make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the Great Commission. And so if you know the freedom Jesus gives, I challenge you to go out there and tell someone about it. Who cares if they laugh at you? Who cares how nervous you are? You're going to be a lot more nervous when that person is screaming at you. Obviously, I know this is kind of an exaggeration because we don't know if we'll actually see this, but you're going to be a lot more nervous at the end seeing that person separated forever, for eternity from God, because you didn't say something. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite. I'm not perfect at this. I still deal with anxiety asking people about the Lord, and I'm working on it, you know? But I'm doing what I can to reach people. At the end of the day, I am preaching, I'm teaching, I'm speaking truth. You have got to repent of your sins to be saved. You do not get saved by saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you're real. No, it's, I'm a sinner. Jesus, you died for my sins. You bought me. I am priceless to you now. Jesus, please come into my life. Transform me. Make me into a new person. And save me. That is what a salvation prayer sounds like. I don't believe salvation prayers are what saves people. Repentance, acknowledgement, belief, the combination of all three. That is how we are saved. As a kid, I believed it. I believed it. If they said a prayer, they're good to go. Yay! I know so many people, guys, so many people who grew up in the church, who said prayers when they were a kid, who even went to Christian schools, who think, well, I was around Jesus all the time, so I'm good to go. I know the truth. Satan knows the truth. Satan quotes scripture. And the demons even believe. But they're not going to heaven. So in summary, to live in God's will, you have to be repentant. To know God's goodness for you, you've got to be submitted to him. The goodness of the plans he has for your life are only found when you're in God's will biblically for your life. This is the missing key. This is what people are missing out on. Stop getting hung up on the marriage, on the car, on the family, on the job, on the school. Get hung up on the will of God instead. That is where everything is found. I know today's been different. I really had so much that I wanted to share on this, and I wanted to get it done, and I hope it was a shorter episode. I've been aiming for that, because I know these two-hour episodes can be just awful for some people. So, I know I approached this in a more teaching manner today. I don't know. I'm just being obedient. This is what I've learned. This is what the Holy Spirit's revealed to me, and what I'm learning in my life right now. At the end of the day, I believe, for some, or many, or most, or all, the enemy has a plan for your life. I could simply say, I forgot to mention this, I wanted to bring this up. Specifically, narcissists were sent to target me. I've learned that. I've seen the patterns. I've pieced it together. And also, because of things that have been revealed to me, I've noticed that the pattern of the guys that I was interested in that were keeping me in that loop of destruction, it was the same kind of person. And it was the belief that I believed that I needed a man. That's how I was kept bound. That's what kept me chained down. And until I was freed of that, until I acknowledged that that was not true, that's when I started finding real freedom. And I was no longer boy crazy or love obsessed, as I've been called. I was Jesus obsessed. And the guys that came into my life, I kid you not, I started praying. Oh my gosh, I wanted to share this because I feel like it's a secret hack to life here. For anyone who's out there who wants to be married, I encourage you to pray, God, protect me from anything that's not from you. There were 3 guys that came into my life post my surrender. Let me do the math here. 3. The first one was someone from my past. Oh, well, I'll just simply say, the Lord cleared up, after my surrender, everyone from my past, he gave me clarity and conclusion on that they were not my person. And every what if I'd questioned got an answer, which was not expected. I did not plan on him doing that. But basically, the first one was from my past, and that just got a concluded finish that I knew this person wasn't right for me. But I also, God used me to bring them back to God. And it wasn't romantic, so that's how I knew something was, you know, it was God's plan for that to be what it was. And then the second one was an attempted dating situation, and it just wasn't time. And again, I learned that that person was not God's plan for me, but they also were brought back to God. And the third one, I've talked about him on here before, man of God. He was used as a catalyst to take me into this new place. And he was not my person. And I knew that. We both knew there wasn't a romantic thing there. But every time that I've prayed, God, remove them if it's not your will, he takes care of it. So if you're submitted to the Lord, if you truly want what he wants for you, he will absolutely answer those prayers and give you what's meant for you. You can live in his protection, in his providence. I think I've talked about my best friend on here. We have struggled for a long time, like an embarrassingly long time, trying to figure out God's plan for our lives because it made sense, but it didn't make sense for us to be together. And basically, the Lord took us on this journey where we finally came to this place where he'd actually surrendered everything to the Lord. And when he surrendered, all the clarity came to him. And all the clarity came to me. And we realized that we were kingdom friends. We were called to be kingdom friends. And he is actually used to encourage me and keep me in line and keep me accountable as a brother in Christ, which I've never had. And again, that's because he surrendered. And so at the end of the day, my friends, I know you guys get tired of hearing it. Surrender to the Lord's way. Surrender to the Lord's plan. Surrender to the Lord's will. That is the key to life. That is where everything you want is found. all the clarity, all the peace, all the lack of confusion, all the direction, all the steps, it is found in him. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you." You have to seek God first. You have to want him first. Your heart's desire should be for him first. When I prayed, "Lord, keep anything out of my life that's not from you," it's because I know you are the one I can trust. My heart belongs to you first, not these random guys that are coming into my life. So, like I said, being submitted to the Lord is the key to life. If you want your promised land, again, it's a loop. It doesn't just stop at the promised land, but if you want what the Lord has for you, you can have it. He has a plan. He really does have an intended plan for your life. It's already written down. But you have a choice if you want that. You have a choice every single day if you want to surrender. I wrote something on my Facebook the other day. When we reject the call to God's surrender, I have found that his loving mercy meets us in one of two ways. He either gives you everything you want, that you think you want, to leave you empty, to show you that he's the only one that can fulfill, or he takes everything that you treasure above him to show you that he is the only one that can fulfill. Now, we can do it the hard way. You absolutely can. You can let him do one of those two things if that's what you choose to do. I've heard it so many times. There have been people I've talked to where they're like, I'll learn the hard way. Okay, by all means, that's your choice. But it is so much easier. I've learned it's so much easier to just surrender. He can be trusted, my friend. He knows what's good for you more than you know for yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you, and he desires to know you, to know you, not to just acknowledge you in his mind. His plans for you are good. And that Jeremiah 29:11 verse gets really taken out of context. The whole point is he has good plans for you if you're submitted to him. You gotta be submitted. Let this be the time that we let go of our pride, our ego, our control, and surrender to the Lord and his plans, his ways for our lives. That is where the beauty is found. That is where your life is. I'm not gonna stop preaching about it. Surrender, 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 surrender. It's the way to go. Because I'm still learning it. I'm not perfect. I haven't figured it all out. I have to keep surrendered. I have to stay in a state of surrender every day. There are times you're going to want things that you can't have. Not right now, not ever. And it's hard. It's brutal. But I can promise you, I can absolutely attest, every time I thought I wanted something, God was protecting me from something that was not for me. And you may not understand it right this second. You may not have understood it then. But maybe one day you will. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. Who are we to think we know anything? His way is the way. So I hope this helped someone out there. I hope that you are able to be free from this lie about God's will. And I hope that you submit to him. I hope you surrender to him. I hope you give him everything. And watch your life transform. Watch it change. Bloom into this beautiful thing that you didn't think was imaginable. You didn't think was possible. He's capable. He really is. Trust me. If you knew where I am versus where I used to be, I don't think you'd believe me. He's just amazing. He's the answer. He's the way. He's it. He's just it. So, thank you for your time, as always. Thank you for open hearts, open minds. Thank you for the safe place. I've healed so much through this knowledge, through this understanding. I've been freed of so much because of this, and I just hope my prayer is that someone else experiences what I've experienced because of this freedom. Yeah. I love you guys. Thank you again. And I hope you have... I remember I watched my old Snapchat sermons and I figured out my phrasing, what it used to be, why I keep getting it messed up. I hope you have a wonderful day, night, whatever time it is, and I will see you next time. That's the right one. Bye, guys.